Good morning. This Lent, you're going to have the opportunity to have a mission. We're going to be starting, actually tomorrow, it'll be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, in which I will be giving the Mass at 8:30, and afterward, there'll be a talk, then there'll be a Mass at 12:10. Then the afternoon, I'll be spending most of the afternoon available for confession. And then in the evening, we'll have another Mass at 5:30, confessions from 6 to 7, and then the talk will be at 7 o'clock. So all of you are invited to come to this Lenten mission. Those who speak Spanish tonight, I'll have a mission at 7:30 in which I'll give a talk and be available for confessions. So I invite all of you to participate in all of the mission, or at least a part of the mission. Because we're in the very heart of Lent, and parish mission is an opportunity to really draw closer to God. So I invite all of you to come free of charge. I once heard a story of a missionary preacher that was fumbling with a microphone at the very beginning at Mass. He was trying to get the microphone to work, so he was turning it on and off. So he started off Mass by saying, "There's something wrong with the mic." And the people said, "And also with you." There was once a Franciscan priest, you probably know the Franciscans as well as the religious way of vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, he was called to make a sick call. And he lived in a very dangerous part of the city where there was a lot of thieves, a lot of violence. And being a Franciscan, he didn't have any money because you probably know as religious, we have those vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. So he's walking quickly toward the tenement where this older man was dying, and it was a very dangerous alley that he had passed through. All of a sudden, he felt something behind his back, a piece of cold metal. It was a thief that had the gun into his back and said, "Your money or your life." The Franciscan said, "Well, sorry, I don't have any money because I have a vow of poverty, but if you want, I have a Milky Way bar." And the thief said, "Thank you, Father, I can't because I gave up candy for Lent." I thought you'd like that one. Okay, this Sunday is very interesting in the sense that only twice in the year do you see a priest coming out in pink. So you're probably surprised in the very heart of Lent, the priest coming out in pink, you were probably expecting purple. Purple. And they could have come out in purple. It's optional. But pink we wear once in Advent as we get close to Christmas, and once in Lent as we get close to the Paschal Mystery, which means the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ, starting with Holy Week. And so what this means is, it means joy. Joy. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be joyful. So if you consider yourself a sad sap, you say in New York, no? Someone that's always depressed, discouraged, there's no joy in your life, you have to ask yourself why? What's wrong? So ask yourself sometime today, are you a sad person? Are you a sad person? Are you, sadness as well as joy is contagious. probably notice you were with a couple of people, you're joyful, a sad sap comes in, all of a sudden you feel kind of discouraged because of that person that came. The other way around, you meet someone that's joyful and he comes and he brings joy. So, and I really believe today that the gospel today is possibly the greatest story that was ever told. It's the story of the prodigal son, or we can call it the parable of the merciful father. Another focus, the prodigal son or the merciful father. Now we spoke about joy. Everyone really wants to be joyful. I think that every day of the week you get up, and there's one day during the week where you get up and you say, well, today is the day I want to be sad. I don't think you've ever done that. I doubt it. Then we get up in the morning, we all want to experience joy, and not only that, but we'd like to be a joyful presence to others. So if that's the case, why is it that so many people today are not joyful? I think it's something like 20% of Americans take some type of pill for depression, something like that, but a pretty high number. Why is it that there are so many people that are sad, depressed, young people, they're cutting themselves, the suicide rate has never been higher among young people as it is today. Why? Why is that the case? And I'll tell you the basic reason why. Because they're looking for joy in the wrong place. That's the reason. They're looking for joy in the wrong place. And I think in this country we can easily confuse joy and happiness with pleasure. You can buy pleasure. You got big bucks? You can buy pleasure. You can buy food and clothing, and people buy drugs. You can buy pleasure. And that depends upon external stimuli, you know, senses. Whereas joy is something that comes from God. Only God can give us true joy. You can be poor, you can be sick, you can be surrounded by difficult people, but you can also be very joyful. Whereas you can be a multimillionaire, you can have all the possessions in the world, you can have all the friends in the world, you can have the most successful company, and at the same time you can be sad. Because if God is not present in your life, then you're not going to have joy at all. And that's the parable of the prodigal son is, it's a parable that goes from sadness to joy. The young man asked his father for money because he really thought that maybe through money he'd be able to experience really what life is. So what he did was he spent his money on pleasure, on drinking, and parties, and prostitutes, and wild living. And the more he gave himself up to his passions, his senses, his lower animal desires, the sadder he became. Until finally, he recognized, after losing it all, and by tending pigs in a nearby farm, that he finally examined his conscience and recognized that all that he had done once he left the father's house was a lie. And he was going to go back to his father's house, he was going to repent, and just to spend time working there for his father. So the first part of the parable shows him trying to pursue happiness in the wrong place. And once he comes back to the father, then the father gives him an embrace, the father gives him a ring, the father gives him sandals, the father gives him a new cloak, the father kills a fatted calf, the father plays the music. So he experiences joy. And why? Sadness because he was away from God, and joy when he comes back to God. And I think in all of our lives, we've experienced that. When we've walked away from God, maybe we're pursuing pleasure, but we felt empty inside. We felt a real vacuum inside. Once we come back to God, then we experience a joy that only God can give. So I'd like to tell a story of a young girl who went from great sadness to great joy. There's a 15-year-old girl that was very sad, very depressed, very discouraged. So her mother decided to take her to for professional help. So she took her to a psychologist, and the girl would spend an hour a week in consultation in which she was opening up her heart and expressing her depression. This went on for months and years, and actually 10 years in consultation. But the girl really didn't get better. Rather, she became even more depressed, even suicidal. What's the purpose of life? So, something happened. Her psychologist was a non-believer, an atheist, whereas this girl was a Catholic. So one day the psychologist wandered into a church in the city, and who did she see in the church was her patient, who she thought was on the brink of suicide. So the psychologist was looking around the church, because the psychologist, not being a Catholic, was not aware of really what the church was about. She saw this man dressed in black, a black robe. He was the pastor. And he got up and he went into what appeared to be a little box, a little closet. We call it the confessional. He turned the light on, and all of a sudden the young woman followed that man in black and into that little closet. And the psychologist was eyeing the whole situation, wondering what the heck is happening there. 5 minutes passed, 7 minutes passed, 8 minutes passed, 10 minutes passed, and in that moment, the psychologist witnessed a miracle, even though she didn't believe in miracles, a miracle that she had never seen in 10 years. The girl walked out of that little box, that little closet, and she was radiating joy. And the psychologist grabbed her head, put it in her hands, and said, "What I tried to accomplish in 10 years, I could not accomplish what happened in 10 minutes in that little box." Why? Only God can heal the broken heart. Psychologists can help us to get in touch with our emotions, right? To kind of unravel our emotions, to get to know our temperament and our emotional state. But only Jesus Christ can heal the wounded heart. So in this mission that I'm giving starting tomorrow, I invite all of you to come, either to all of it or part of it. And I have three primary objectives. The first is this. You know, I think that the biggest problem in Catholicism today is mediocre Catholicism. I think that's the biggest problem, is that we're lacking fire. And Jesus said, "I've come to cast fire on the earth. And I'm not at peace until that fire be enkindled." Mediocre Catholics. No? And the reason, what's the principal reason why there's mediocrity in Catholicism? Is because of a weak prayer life. That's my first objective. I would like to invite all those who come, I'm going to really encourage all of you to go deeper in your prayer life. And face it, we can all go deeper in our prayer life, right? Hello? Anyone home? Are you awake? Have you had your coffee yet? Okay. We can all grow in our prayer life. By the way, do any of you know what ASAP means? I can't hear you. No, it's always say a prayer. Amen? Yeah, okay. Thought you'd like that one. So that I'd like to do is really motivate us to go deeper in our prayer life. Possibly the greatest communicator in our country last century was, any of you hear of Fulton Sheen?
Yes.
Any of you meet him? I did. I met him once, okay? Fulton Sheen. He was probably the greatest communicator in our country last century. Maybe in the world. You know why? He made a holy hour. Not a happy hour, okay? But a holy hour he made every day for more than 50 years. And he wrote 70 books. He was the first tele-evangelist. He was the head of the missionary society of the whole church. Never missed one holy hour in more than 50 years. And he was probably busier than you are. Probably busier than I am. So if this great man, and he's already venerable, now his body's been transferred to New York, to Peoria, maybe you heard that, so he'll be hopefully beatified and canonized as soon as possible as a model for priests and bishops. Amen? So, if he became great because of what he called the hour of power, he called it the hour of power, we're only going to do great things for God if we have a deep prayer life. And then my second objective is I want all of you to have the opportunity to make the best confession in your life. I'm formed in the Jesuit spirituality. Maybe you've heard of the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius Loyola. I'm dedicated to trying to promote what is called the general confession. I want you to make a confession of your whole life. We're in the very heart of Lent. Make a confession of your whole life. Get it all out. By the way, my name is Father Broom. Let's have a clean sweep with Father Broom. Amen? So all of us, like the girl in my story, all of us, like the prodigal son, we're all wounded. We're all wounded. And as Henri Nouwen says, either we are wounded wounders or wounded healers. Amen? Either we are wounded wounders, we're wounding other people, or we're wounded healers. So I'd like to end with a little poem. I think these people in Texas, they like poetry. It's a poem, I think, probably written by some doctor, someone who got a doctor from Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Dartmouth. So it's an intellectual poem, but I think you'll all love it. And this is the poem. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Welcome to the Humpty Dumpty Club of the Parish of St. Therese. Welcome to the Humpty Dumpty Club. But the good news is, Humpty Dumpty can be put back together again by the wounds of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.